The Gospel is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, a just man, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. And the contemporary reading is called Carrying a Candle by Jan Such Pickard, who is a Scottish poet, storyteller, and former warden at Iona Abbey. Carrying a candle from one little place of shelter to another is an act of love. To move through the huge and hungry darkness, step by step, against the invisible wind that blows forever around the world. Carrying a candle is an act of foolhardy hope. Surely it will be blown out. The wind is contemptuous. The darkness cannot comprehend it. How much light can this tiny flame shed on all the great issues of the day? It is as helpless as a newborn child. Look how the hand that cradles it has become translucent, fragile and beautiful, foolish and loving, step by step. The wind is stronger than this hand, and the darkness infinite around this tiny here and now flame that wavers but keeps burning. Carried with such care through an uncaring world from one little place of shelter to another. An act of love. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never put it out. For the word in Scripture, for the word among us, for the word within us, we give thanks.
When Colma and John and I were preparing for the service, we read that reading from Matthew, and we asked ourselves, what would we give thanks for as a result of reading this? What would we lament? And what would we want to affirm? So the thanksgiving and the lament that we're going to join in now comes from that, and later our affirmation too. We give thanks for the new life children bring to their worlds.
We give thanks for all villages of the world who have raised children in this world. We give thanks for the community in which Mary, Jesus and Joseph lived. We give thanks for those like them who courageously take risks so children will survive. For this we give thanks.
We lament that not all children are welcome in the world.
We lament that because of prejudice, people are afraid to step out and do the unusual.
We lament limiting theology which may arise in some places from this reading of the word.
We lament those times when, for different reasons, people have not listened to did on their dreams. This is our lament.
And we say together the Jesus Prayer or the Lord's Prayer, which you'll find on the card with your order of service. Eternal Spirit, life giver, pain bearer, love maker,
source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echoes through the universe, the way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the world, your heavenly will be done by all created beings, your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, strengthen us. From trials too great to endure, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen.
From our experience, we affirm that the divine energy we call God frequently breaks through in unexpected places, so small beginnings can have large consequences. We affirm that listening is important, and it is all right to change your mind. We affirm Joseph listening to his dream and realizing a just man can act justly in many different ways. We affirm divine presence is with us, as it was with Mary and Joseph, as they stepped outside the norm and pushed boundaries. We affirm virgin birthing is more than myth as fairy tale, but a living parable of spiritual renewal, which can be born in us any day, any hour. Let us pass the peace, and visitors, we do this enthusiastically. Do not be afraid.
Good morning. For those people who don't know me, my name's Vari. I'm going to read Susan's reflection, so it might be a little bit odd, but when I say I, that's Susan talking, not me. Okay. In 2013, Roger and I, Susan, attended the annual commitment service at Moot, a neo-monastic community based on a Victorian Gothic church, St Mary's Aldermary, not too far from St Paul's in the City of London. There were about 40 people of different ages with friends who came to commit for the year to the community. They live and work in and around the city. The community runs study groups, meditation opportunities, a lunchtime bring-your-own-laptop cafe. Everyone looks very pleased to be here, I said to Ian Mobsby, their self-supporting vicar. He looked at me consideringly and said, "This has taken 10 years. In Poole, we talked with Alan Bradbury, priest in charge of Reconnect, a missional community based now at No. 34 Old High Street. It began with Paul walking the streets in 2008, wondering what and how and where he might begin something. Their website now states, "Reconnect is now a community of about 50 adults and children, which has also developed other communities. One initiative, Space for Life, started in 2012 and is now a community of about 30 women who meet weekly to share creativity. The time together includes a time of quiet and biblical reflection, and from this, a number of people have begun exploring faith. Other projects include a film club and a community dinner aimed at building relationships with those more marginalised in the town. At the Church of the Saviour in Washington, D.C., the 40 standalone ministries, which are now charitable trusts in their own right, each began with three people agreeing on an idea and reaching out for support and prayer. one minister, his wife, and two or three others, began something in 1946, which now has seven congregations of about 90 people each. In 1840, St Andrew's on the Terrace began with a worship service held on Petone Beach. John McFarlane had already taken a risk getting on the boat in Scotland. Now, fresh off the boat, he began with small beginnings, guarding the new life of this parish. From 1989 to 1991, each Monday, demonstrations took place in Leipzig, East Germany. From a few hundred people meeting in St Nicholas Church, the protests quickly swelled to over 70,000 people in a city of 500,000. The church offered finances, a place to communicate, and support from the congregation. 25 years ago, back here in Wellington, New Zealand, St Andrew's declared itself to be inclusive on the 4th of December 1991. The rainbow flame has encountered some strong, blustery winds, but St Andrew's reputation has grown to the extent that we are the go-to place for celebrations and commemorations for the LGBTQI communities. When I meet people from those communities, they say, "St Andrew's, oh yeah," and they smile. When you begin something small, when you risk guarding the new life flickering into being, as you light the small candle which will aim to penetrate the darkness, you don't know then if you will succeed or where this thing will go. Mary and Joseph, in this legendary story, took the risk of going against the conventions to guard their child, whom they believed would be special. How did they know what might spring from the care they took, from the risks they embraced? We can look back now from Reconnect's 8 years in Poole, Moot's 10 years in London City, St Andrew's 25 years as a consciously inclusive church, the Church of the Saviour's 70 years in Washington, D.C., St Andrew's 176 years here in Wellington, and we can see what has grown and developed, what has become. But when you're starting out, you don't know. Jesus' life and ministry had several starting points. His birth we celebrate at Christmas. His life in Judaism was celebrated shortly afterwards, when the stories tell us he was endorsed by two wise old prophets in the temple at his dedication. He made another beginning when he went to John for baptism. Then he started by calling together a band of followers, a motley lot of carpenters, fishermen, tax gatherers, and zealots. Then he started his preaching, teaching ministry. At each starting point, how could he know what would come of it? At each entry into each town or village, how did he know how it would go? We lit the candle of peace today. We can be at peace when we know that we can put into any effort what we have, our talent, time, effort, and money, creativity, hope, and determination. If the venture is worthwhile and the motive pure, it will be recognised as such by others, one or two at first, others coming after them. The authenticity and the significance of the venture will capture the imagination of others, and the work will grow. If the work is not authentic, and if its contribution to the world is insignificant, it will die and wither on the vine, be blown out by the blustering wind in the darkness. But do not let that stop us lighting the next candle and stepping out into this wind-ravaged dark world of ours and making a start.
At Christmas time, our gifts of food may be needed more than ever before, and so we pray that they will do the good they need to do. And our money is needed always so that this church can keep out spreading the message of inclusive love to our community. And so we pray that they may do their work. So may it be. Amen. If people have a notice that they really need to give this morning, considering it's 10 to 11 and we haven't had communion yet, come forward. One delightful notice I want to give is that the Parish Council have had a vote and have elected Lynn Dovey as the new convener of Parish Council. We both congratulate and commiserate with Lynn on her appointment. Welcome, Lynn. And to say, for those of you who weren't at the AGM, we did thank Sandra then and give her flowers for her work as convener over the last 2 years. She promised to do it for one, ended up doing it for two, and I, for one, am very grateful for that. Thank you, Sandra, for your work. Just to draw your attention to the moderator's earthquake appeal, next week we'll have a box here, but in the meantime, feel free to use internet banking to respond to that appeal. Anyone else?
In today's prayers of the people, we pray for our own community and for people throughout New Zealand and around the world. As we continue our journey towards Bethlehem and light the second Advent candle for peace, we think of present-day refugee families, and in particular, mothers forced to give birth in cold, foreign places. In this time of global turmoil, we continue to pray that love and peace will find a way in Aleppo, in Mosul, and in the lives of those fleeing the violence. Closer to home, we hold in our hearts those families in North Canterbury whose lives have been dislocated by the recent earthquakes. We pray that they will be surrounded by love and support this Christmas as they come to terms with the impact of the quakes on their lives. And within our own community, we pray that we might each be instruments of peace this Christmas, opening our hearts and homes to the anxious, the lonely, and the family members who we don't always see eye to eye with. May we do what we can to spread love, tolerance, and understanding. And we pray with those who have written in the book, and we ask to spare a thought for those on benefits needing to relocate due to the earthquakes and competing for accommodation with all of their other better paid citizens. And in our circle of prayer, we think today of the people of Tuvalu and the Congregational Christian Church of Tuvalu. In New Zealand, we remember those in Parliament, and today we name Alfred Nauru and Maureen Pugh, List MPs. Here in Wellington, we pray for Hutt City Uniting Congregations. And we draw all our prayers together in the prayer for St Andrews, which you'll find on the laminated card in your order of service. And if you're visiting with us here today, please pray this prayer for us, but also make it a prayer for your people and your place. Renew your people, God, and renew our life in this place. Give us a new spirit of unity with all who follow Christ, and a new spirit of love towards all people. Bless the city in which we live, that it may be a place where honest dealing, good government, the desire for beauty, and the care for others flourish. Bless this church, that what we know of your will may become what we do, and what we believe, the strong impulse of our worship and work. Amen.
You have heard today that St Andrews is an open community and all are welcome at this table. Wherever you are on your faith's journey, wherever you have come from and wherever you're going, whatever you believe and whatever you do not believe, you are welcome to participate in this communion. You are also welcome to stay and not participate. The choice is yours. This is God's meal for all people. We find on this table bread much like that Mary and Joseph might have taken on their journey, made from wheat of the field. Wine and juice from vineyards on stony hillsides, made from grape of the vine. Menu ingredients for a feast of life. All are welcome here. Christ be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks. We give thanks that Jesus includes children, boys and girls, includes adults of all sorts, types and orientations, those of every colour and personality. We give thanks that Mary and Joseph and Jesus, in the way they lived on earth, revealed God. And so we add our praises to those of the faithful of every time and place, joining with the whole of creation in the eternal hymn, Holy, 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 God of power and vulnerability. At his last supper with his friends, people who were much like us, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and said, "This represents the new covenant. Eat this in remembrance of me." And also after supper, the cup, saying, "This is the cup of me." Spirit of all, bless these elements, this bread and this wine, gifts of the earth. That is, let us pray. With this nourishment for our bodies, may we also be nourished in our souls for the journey that we need to follow. May this be so. Amen. Despite not very well throats and despite the exigencies of the sound system, we came through. So let that give you hope for speaking out in the world, and remember that love surrounds you every moment of every day. Amen.